The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. Welcome to those who are here in the building, and welcome especially to all who are joining us at home and those who'll be tuning in on the phone. We're delighted to have everybody with us today at our service. In our service this morning, we're going to be continuing to think a little bit about climate change, which we've been doing during this season of autumn. And also, we're going to be reflecting this morning on the psalm that's appointed for today, which is all about praying honestly to God. That's the theme of our service today. I wanted to mention some notices for the week that is to come. Jill has been outside, I know, receiving shoe boxes for the Samaritan's Purse. So they're being received in today. And tomorrow our toddlers group reopens between 10 and 12. And if you'd like to come, maybe with a child or grandchild, you need to book in. And there's an Eventbrite link that's on the parish website or Facebook page to enable you to do that. Also tomorrow evening, our BB will be meeting in the evening. And again, we're delighted to welcome new members. If you have children or grandchildren or neighbors who you think would like to come to our BB, we'd be delighted to welcome them. So they're meeting tomorrow evening, the Anchor Boys on Tuesday, and Wednesday, the Parish Alpha Course, and Thursday, the Parish Prayer Meeting at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 11 and at 7. Just also wanted to mention in advance that in 2 weeks' time, we look forward to celebrating Harvest Thanksgiving. And this year, in complying with the restrictions that are in place, we'll be bringing some offerings of tinned fish, custard, and rice pudding for the larder food bank. And we just wanted to alert people to that. It'll be happening in 2 weeks' time, and that's the way we hope to be able to celebrate and to mark Harvest Thanksgiving. And we look forward to some special speakers coming on Harvest Sunday. As we come together to worship God, we come this morning with a sense of thanksgiving for God's faithfulness and his goodness. And that's the theme of our opening hymn, Now Thank We All Our God.
Thank you.
Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today is a psalm that speaks about the struggle of not being heard by God in our troubles. So we're going to stand together and we're going to say verses 1 to 15 of Psalm 22. My God, my God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me and are so far from my salvation, from the words of my distress? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer, and by night also, but I find no rest. Yet you are the Holy One, enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Our forebears trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were delivered. They put their trust in you and were not confounded. But as for me, I am a worm and no man, scorned by all and despised by the people. All who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lips and wag their heads, saying, "He trusted in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delights in him. But it is you that took me out of the womb and laid me safe upon my mother's breast. On you was I cast ever since I was born. You are my God, even from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near at hand, and there is none to help. Mighty oxen come around me. Fat bulls of Bashan close me in on every side. They gape upon me with their mouths, as it were a ramping and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has become like wax, melting in the depths of my body. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my gums. You have laid me in the dust of death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And if you'd like to be seated for our Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Job, chapter 23, starting at verse 1. Even today, my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling, and I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out whether he would answer me and consider what he would say. Would he oppose me with great power? No, he would not press charges against me. There an upright man could present his case before him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face. This is the word of the Lord.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we remind children who are 7 and under that they should be accompanied over by somebody a little bit older as they make their way across. So we're going to sing together hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. If you'd like to be seated for our New Testament reading.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, starting at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and father." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied. "No one who has left his home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the word of the Lord.
During the autumn, we've been thinking about the challenging question of climate change. And in this week's video, we're going to be thinking about how to speak to other Christians about climate change.
What are the ways in which we can engage in the climate change debate and gently point people to Jesus?
I want to offer 4 specific thoughts for having these conversations. And the first one is this: do not engage out of guilt. Because one of the hallmarks of what we believe is that we have been freed from that guilt. We act from the heart because we've been given new hearts that want to do what's right. That we don't just live in fear of punishment from God, we live in the hope and the freedom that Christ's sacrifice brought us. As it says in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because we don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And in Hebrews 10, it talks about how the sacrifices under the law were not able to free people from guilt for their sins because it was not able to make them perfect. But, as it continues on in the chapter, it says, by one sacrifice, Christ did make us perfect. All of those who are being sanctified in our behavior, it doesn't mean our behavior is perfect. We all know that's not true. But it does mean that we have been freed from the price of sin, because the price of sin was death. Christ paid it. And that means that we can walk in newness of life. So motivating people out of guilt is not what we have to do. I still remember one of the very first round tables I went to that had Christian leaders from many different denominations, Protestant, Catholic, and more. And as we were sitting there at that table, with most people who had flown to that location, and as we all know, flying is one of the most carbon-intensive ways we can transport ourselves around the world, one person leaned across the table and he said, "You know, every time you turn on your car, you're sinning." I thought to myself, oh, so when I go to church, I'm sinning. Coming to this meeting was sinning. Going to my job is sinning. Taking my child to the doctor if they're sick is sinning. I just wanted to go out to the parking lot, find the nearest Hummer. This meeting happened in Texas, so I imagine there would have been a Hummer nearby. Find the nearest Hummer and just drive circles around him going, sinning, I'm sinning. Guilt is not how we are intended to be motivated, and God knows this, and that's why we have been freed from guilt by Christ's sacrifice. And so the first thing we need to do is not pass that guilt on, but rather acknowledge that we are free, and because we are free, we can choose to do the right thing. And how do we choose? That brings me to my second point. Not out of fear. I love this verse from Timothy because it provides a litmus test. So much of our conversation about climate change, whether we fear the unchecked impacts of climate change or whether we fear the solutions of climate change, so much of that conversation revolves around fear. Yet in Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if we are feeling fear, that fear is not coming from God. Instead, God has given us power. And this is very important. It's not a word we use very often, but we do use a derivative of it, which is empowered. Empowered means we are capable of acting. And fear, on the other hand, can spark a short-term reaction, but long-term fear and anxiety will paralyze us. So being empowered, having a spirit of power, means that rather than being paralyzed by fear, we are able to act. How? Out of love, having compassion for others, caring for their needs, and, I love this last one, with a sound mind. Using the sound mind that God gave us to make good decisions based on the information that we see in His creation. So how do we have conversations with fellow Christ followers? Not out of guilt, not out of fear, but number three, in love. We are to be recognized by our love for others, and we are told to walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. Walking in love, and lastly, in hope too. Over the last 2 years, I would say that the most frequent question that I have gotten from anywhere in any group, in any organization I've spoken to, young or old, Christian or secular, North America or European, the most frequent question I have got is, what gives you hope? And as Christians, we know that hope comes from a very counterintuitive place. In the book of Romans, Paul writes that we know that troubles help us learn not to give up. So he begins with troubles. Troubles help us learn not to give up. When we have learned not to give up, it shows that we have stood the test. When we have stood the test, it gives us hope. And hope never makes us ashamed, or another translation would say it never disappoints, because the love of God has come into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have hope. Not guilt, not fear, love, hope, and a sound mind are how we can engage with each other. And these are the values and the gifts from God, really, that we can connect with in others and inspire with others.
So let's stand together now in hope as we affirm our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. In our special prayer for today, we pray for the power of God's Holy Spirit to guide us. O God, without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to join together to sing our next hymn, And Can It Be?
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we know that you are the one to whom all our hearts are open. In that spirit and in that understanding, help us all to look to you and listen to you. Amen. Please be seated. So if I was being polite, I'd say good morning. How are you? There you go. Good. That was the right answer, by the way. I heard a clear one down there and from over on my left. How are you? Fine. It's not a question. How are you? It's a greeting. It's a call and response. How are you? Fine. If you were to answer something else, you kind of need to be careful because you're possibly breaking some societal rules. If you go into someone and say, good morning, how are you? And they say, oh, well, it's been a bit of a long week. You'd be entitled to say, hey, hang on. No, I'm only here to buy petrol. I'm saying, how are you? Fine, let's move on. How are you? Fine. We fall into these patterns. We often fall into similar patterns, and they are, I have to say, good patterns, but we fall into similar patterns in prayer. Most prayers that I have heard, most prayers that I use, start with things like, Dear Lord Jesus, or Our Heavenly Father, or Dear God. And for good reason, too. These openings remind us who we're speaking to. They focus the mind, and they focus the moment. And they all end with a good Amen. They end well. But the psalm writers want us to know, and I believe wanted us to know, that some prayers can't be tidy. The Psalms have given us these. The Lord is my shepherd. They've given us, I lift up my eyes to the hills. And they've given us, my God, why have you forsaken me? The last one is a bit different, isn't it? It's not a psalm of praise. It's not a nice psalm. It's saying, why are you so far away, God? Why do you ignore me? You helped my ancestors, but me, I'm a worm. I'm laughed at and mocked by everybody. My bones have turned to water. My heart has melted. My words have dried up. You, God, have laid me down to die. Now, the psalm goes on, and at the end of the psalm, there's a recognition that all things, no matter what, find their fulfillment in God. And even in our despair, that doesn't change. However, the Church of Ireland lectionary, that's a book that sets out the Bible readings for the year, I think it's over 3 years, and it goes hand in hand with the Book of Common Prayer. The lectionary chose for us to stop today's reading at verse 15. They decided that today was the day that we should all stand up together and end our reading with the words, You have laid me in the dust of death. Now, this is a bold move on behalf of the lectionary writers and a bold move on behalf of the psalmist, the person who wrote the psalm in the first place. They knew the truth. Sometimes we're not fine. Sometimes it's not a good morning. And it's good to say this out loud. And it's even better to say this out loud to our God. I would pray in the car sometimes. And I like the car when you're on your own because you can pray out loud. It used to be back in the day, and now I'm thinking of the 90s and before, that if you saw someone talking to themselves in the car or walking down the street talking to themselves, you'd just take a wee mental note, maybe give them a wee wide berth. Nowadays, it's completely normal. People just talk out loud the whole time, and they'll have the most private conversations on speakerphone. It's so different. You just have to get used to it. Everyone is talking out loud, so it doesn't seem so strange when you're in the car to talk. And this is where, I guess because you're on your own, no one can hear you, I find it a good place to have my most personal prayers, my most honest out loud prayers. And they could sound something like, I am cross, God. I'm sick to the back teeth. Or, Lord, what are you doing? Or, I know you have a plan, God, but really? Sometimes that's how we can talk. And the Psalms, which was the Book of Common Prayer for God's people, that's what it is. That's one of the things the Psalms is. I shouldn't be so definitive about the Bible, like I know everything. How arrogant. One of the things the Psalms is a common prayer book. And those Psalms allow us and give us the words to say to God when everything has gone wrong. And these Psalms were ingrained in Jesus. We know that Jesus knew his scriptures. And the Psalm, this particular Psalm 22, helped Jesus put into words the impossibility of his feelings when he was betrayed, stripped, hung on a piece of wood, and left to die. And if that honesty is good enough for Jesus, I think Jesus would say it's good enough for us, his children, his brothers and sisters. If we love someone, we want to know how they are. We don't want them just to tell us everything's fine when it's not. How can we have an honest and mature relationship with someone we love if we have a permanent wall of politeness, a peace wall between us and them? Our Father, or as the Bible does say, our Daddy loves us, and he wants us to speak to him in honesty and with maturity. And when we're despairing, we tell him. When we're afraid, we tell him. When we're hopeful, we tell him. We tell him everything. Our hearts are open to him. And this maturing relationship leads to another aspect of prayer, I believe. God answers. Now, God doesn't necessarily fix. It's different. How God answers will differ from individual to individual. God did not take Jesus down from the cross in one piece. God did not fix the cross, but God had an answer to the cross, and that was the resurrection. Jesus had to go through it, but God heard him, and God had an answer. A friend of mine who I was talking to also uses the car for talking out loud, getting things off her chest. And she says one day she was in full rant about her twins. I've had enough, Lord, she said. They are rude. They don't listen. Every day it's the same. How am I supposed to do this? And she said, not so much a voice, and not even a thought, but just words that she heard in her heart and heard in her head cut across her thinking. They cut across what she called her sense of just that she deserved better. She just heard the words and felt the words, love them. And it contradicted everything she was thinking. And she knew in that moment that that was what God was wanting her to do. He wasn't going to fix her twins. We'll see what happens. He wasn't going to make everything all better. But for him, the answer was, love them. God was hearing her honesty, and he was giving her his honest answer and his loving answer. I don't think the next time someone says to you, how are you? I don't think the next time is the time for you to open up your entire box of feelings to folks. There's a time and a place. However, Prayer is for any time, and prayer is always the time for honesty. I'd like to end and close this with a time of quiet, a time of quiet prayer. It's only going to be 30 seconds of quiet. It won't be silence, but quiet. And 30 seconds is less time than it takes to boil a kettle. It'll seem long, but it won't be. And in this time, I'd like us all to think, what if God was asking us, how are you? Let's take a short time of quiet to answer him, bearing in mind that our hearts are open to him anyway. Let's take a quiet time. We continue our prayers today, and we're going to use prayers that are given to us by an organization called Open Doors. There are people all around the world who need Psalms like Psalm 22 because of what they're going through. And we're going to come alongside those people in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Nigeria who are facing extreme violence and other forms of persecution. Comfort those who mourn, we pray, and replace their weeping with joy. Heal their trauma and show them who they are in your eyes. Protect Christian communities from extremist attacks and transform the hearts of those who persecute believers so ruthlessly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, please protect the small number of Christians among the millions of people who live in Afghanistan, particularly as they face even more persecution under the Taliban takeover. Thank you that despite their small number, they have discovered the greatest love in the world. Please keep showing them your wisdom, mercy, and comfort, and give opportunities for believers to meet together despite opposition. Provide for all citizens under such a regime. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, it's remarkable, but there is growth in the church in China, despite years of opposition and hostility. We praise you for the power of the gospel. Fill believers with wisdom, discernment, and courage as they seek to serve you in an increasingly monitored environment. Empower their witness and continue to build your church. Strengthen and sustain your children through all challenges. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in our own community. We pray for Liz Nashara Primary School and Lead Hill Primary School, both in our locality. We pray for the staff and the pupils. We pray for the children having difficulties after a prolonged lockdown, and for those who've always experienced difficulties anyway. Help them learn and grow and find their place in your world. We pray for children who are not in school through choice or because school was not a good place for them. Help them learn and grow and find their place in the world. We pray for residents in local nursing homes and care homes. Protect them from ill health and loneliness. We pray the same for those in hospital at this time. And as the nights turn darker and longer, it can be a difficult time for many of us, emotionally. Lighten the darkness of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you taught us to pray. You taught us we could come to you, and we share the words that you taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And we're going to respond to what we've heard as we sing together the hymn, Give Thanks, with a grateful heart. Now let's bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Thank you for sharing with us in our service this morning. And our closing hymn for today is a prayer as we offer our lives to God in the week that is to come. Take my life and let it be.